Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 267. Welcome to episode 267. Oh God, I can hear myself. Welcome to episode 267. Oh God, I can hear myself. That was the best echo ever. That was fantastic. Absolute amateur hour. So episode 267, and I still don't know what I'm doing. Very excited. We've got, a very hard-to-find guy. We have the Hidden Hedgehog coming on. He's going to be talking about this competition idea that he's working on that I'm very excited to pick his brain about. And, so for those of you that are watching, do me a huge favor. Share this out everywhere. If you have any questions while we're chatting, please put them in the chat. I will see them. I'll catch them. I'll ask them whether or not he answers. That's up for debate. So without further stalling, allow me to introduce the very colorful Hidden Hedgehog in his classic.
Are we on now, are we?
Yeah, we're on now.
Okay, sorry. Hi, guys.
Sorry for what? I love that I caught you literally mid-sip. That was fantastic.
Literally mid-sip.
That was awesome. I didn't even plan that. So this isn't your first time being on this show. You were on the show way back in the day, dude. Way back in the day.
That was a while ago, yeah. Do you know, it's always really difficult because of the time zones and stuff like that.
So. There's a whole ocean between us, unfortunately.
Yes, there is. I feel like you're sitting right next to me right now.
And it's terrible because the one time we were both on the same continent, I had to run and catch a flight. And I couldn't even go for a drink.
I know. You came for a day, and that's dedication, man.
Yeah, I didn't see you the entire day, though. It's like it's almost as if you just hid somewhere on the field.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
no, it's always good to be on. I'd love to come on a bit more. It's a little bit easier, different jobs and stuff like that. I was doing proper early mornings back when I was last on your show, so it's just really difficult to stay up. And I'm getting older these days. 10:30 is late for me, and staying up till 12:30 is difficult. That's why I've got the tea.
You got the tea. Sorry, I'm trying to keep track of the comments right now. They're flying in.
Look at that. I'm not vain. I swear to God, this was a gift.
I should. I'm gonna get my own mug made. I'm gonna get one made just for me, and was it Jimmy Kimmel or whoever like always has the mug? I'm getting one made.
Someone made this for me like back when I first started my channel, so it was like 6 years ago, and it's been with me ever since. And I always have my tea out of it. I love it.
That's awesome. That's great. Before I forget, folks, if you're watching this on Facebook and you don't want to for some reason, feel free. We're on Twitch and on YouTube. So if you want to go over to Twitch, it's Maritime Paintball Podcast. If you want to go to YouTube, it's the Maritime Paintball Podcast. We're streaming out everywhere, and the system seems to be working relatively well. So I'm not holding my breath that it's not going to fall apart. Wolf's in the chat. He's saying, hey. How come he's only showing up in one chat, though? Whatever. Zach says, I need a beer stein. I agree. I also need a...
You need a what, sorry?
A beer stein.
What's that? Is that a beer? Beer? Is that
beer?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I need a tea stein.
A tea stein? Yes. Yes. Get a tea stein. it needs to be, instead of engraved with like a majestic elk, it's just like somebody's grandma. Like knitting or something, you know what I mean? That's the way it used to be. It's an absolute blast to have you on, and
thank you very much.
Yeah, man, anytime. And folks, if you're on the chat, just say what's up, say hello, ask questions, please. I'm trying to catch them all as the questions are flying by, so bear with me. But what have you been up to? We'll get into the competition in a minute, but like, what have you been up to?
So, I mean, I'll be honest, like, I've took a little bit of a backseat with the whole YouTube thing, just in case people haven't noticed. We're in a pandemic and there are no games. So it's been difficult. It's been a difficult year. I think I played two events. There was one literally a week before the lockdown, which was back in March. And it's been a few of the games like you know, small war cons and stuff like that. But generally, there hasn't been anything. So I haven't really been playing much. I've been working a lot, and that's kind of it really. It's one of them years, unfortunately, where when people say, you know, what have you been up to, and it's kind of like, oh, nothing really, you know, same as everybody else. Well, in the UK anyway, you know, it's like we've locked down for like 4 months, everything got shut down, you know, everyone was essentially only allowed to go outside for shopping, which kind of sucked really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, because the UK, like, so people complain here in Canada about the lockdown, but in the UK, you guys went like, you were two steps away from martial law. Like, you guys really full on shut down. Don't leave your house.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. So it was, you know, a lot of people suffered and stuff. And it's, you know, the mental health side of things, you know, in a lot of people, you could see how people deteriorated, you know, as soon as the lockdown was lifted. And people kind of came back to work and all that. And you could just see it in their faces that, you know, people were like, oh, you know, they were sick and tired of it. And but the flip side to that is what I assumed was going to happen. Obviously, a lot of people were very worried. A lot of fields are very worried. But there was a massive surge. As soon as the lockdown was lifted, places were open again and fields were absolutely booming because people just couldn't wait to get out of the house. You know, it's just the way it was. Yeah. We're in another lockdown now. So, you know, great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all going to end up there. Never mind. I was going to crack a joke, but I promised myself I'm not bringing up anything American, on this stream. This is going to be an election-free zone.
Oh yeah, you guys. I'll say you guys as if you're American.
It might as well be the CBC is broadcasting it. The Canadian Broadcast Corporation is literally live streaming and broadcasting the fucking U.S. election.
Yeah. Let's gloss over the politics. We don't want politics on the show.
No, there's enough in paintball already.
Unless it's dealing with lacerations, I'm not interested.
Lacerations, yes, absolutely, yes, all the lacerations,
all the lacerations.
Ardav says he's surprised to see you up so late.
Yeah, me too. But it's all good. I'm trying to go through the comments here. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to go through that. Unanistan, can I suggest who to get? I've only just been here, Unanistan. Give me some screen time on the Maritime Podcast.
And then his next thing is all of Justin Reaper's official guests. That's how many windows can Zoom handle? 40? 50? Oh, is that enough?
Yeah, come on. No, leave Reaper alone. He's armless. Leave him alone.
No, but he's got so many guests. I can't do it. Literally, I'm sorry, George, but I don't have the technology. I just don't. My computer would literally catch on fire. Who is asking? Mike Merlo wants to know when you and Barker are going to play Next Barricade.
Next Barricade. Well, do you know what? It's always very, very difficult when we play together because we have two completely different play styles. So when I'm in the field, you know, when there's, you know, like before game, pre-game, and, you know, we're kind of like mucking around. But actually, when I'm on the field, it doesn't benefit me anyway having Barker next to me because I might as well just paint myself up as a bullseye, you know, because, you know, it just doesn't work. We just have different play styles. Barker's actually quite aggressive. He does like to push, whereas I like to stalk, you know, I like to hunt. And so we very rarely see each other, actually. When we're on the battlefield together, but maybe we'll do a little. Well, we can't now because we're in lockdown. But maybe we'll do a little cheeky Next Barricade.
There you go. George says he wants you to wish him a good retirement. Apparently, he's retiring at the ripe age of I'm not sure what, but not nearly old enough to be retiring.
Wish him a good retirement.
Yeah, that's
retirement from what?
Yeah, it just says wish me a good retirement.
Retirement.
I think
from
he's
paintball.
I think he's retiring from paintball. I think he's.
Oh, is he?
I think he's grown bored of it.
I've only got one picture of me and you and Stan, and that was the big group photo.
Where them laid out in the center.
Yeah, we laid out. Do you know what's really funny, actually? There's a funny story behind this picture, right? I ended up getting a nickname because of that photo. I won't tell you who gave me the nickname because it was kind of meant as a little bit of an insult, but I took it, and I'm going to get a t-shirt made of it one day.
Do it.
And someone sent me a message going, do you know what? You used to be cool, but now I see that picture. You're just a tight t-shirt wearing sponsor whore. And I was like,
that's a great t-shirt. What? I'm a tight t-shirt wearing sponsor whore. Yeah, right across
I'm gonna get a t-shirt made. Yeah. So all I had on was my an EG top.
Yeah.
Which a lot of players do these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was wearing the Armadillo hat, white Armadillo hat from Graham. That was it.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah, but that's enough.
But literally, eventually, I am gonna. Yeah, it was enough. Yeah, so I'm gonna get a t-shirt made. I'm a tight t-shirt wearing sponsor, and it stuck. And that was literally from that photograph when it got posted up, and someone messaged me that just out of the blue. Someone decided to message me that I used to be cool, but now I'm a tight t-shirt wearing sponsor. Yeah.
And what you gotta do though? You gotta get that shirt. Get it in a size that fits, right? But then take it to a tailor and have them take it in just a little bit.
So bust it out of it. Yeah, it was funny. It was funny. That was a good time. That was meeting everyone and having that photo. I don't know. I don't know if anything like that would probably ever happen again, where there was so many, influencers and content creators all in one place. Hopefully it will.
Honestly, it was dangerous because if anything had happened at that event, there would be no paintball on YouTube. No, just kidding. We were all
maybe,
in one place.
Maybe, yeah.
Right? You know, yeah. It's dangerous. Can't do that again. That'd be
Christmas
awesome.
Christmas says he can make that t-shirt.
He can make that t-shirt. He makes good shit. So hold on. He's got a vinyl cutter. He makes good shit. I don't know if you can't see it, but my longboard in the back, he did a vinyl for that, and it's fucking dope. Ardav says, what have you been up to in the world of paintball as of late? Are you still with EG? Sorry if this was already discussed.
I'm still with EG, still with the boys at EG. It's really cool. Lots of really cool stuff going on. That's just the way that is, it's EG, it's a cool place to be and stuff. I'm doing lots of really, really cool stuff coming out soon. So make sure you stay tuned on the Instagram and all that sort of stuff. But if I'm honest, for paintball, again, with the lockdown stuff, do you know what I find out I'm doing a lot of doing recently is I'm seem to be stumbling across little gems. Paintball gear.
Do you just have like a dozen Hammer 7s in the back room right now?
You know what? I had to sell my Hammer 7s. I don't have, I only have the ones that I shoot with now, but just other stuff like cool little rare vintage items that I'm looking going, that's really cool. I'm never going to wear it. Bye. And then literally I don't do anything with it. And I just end up hoarding all of this stuff. I've got one here actually. So this, I'm sure you guys know what this is. So I've got one of these. So this is the Tippmann B5, very rare. So yeah, and it's like a bullpup. And I've got the retro, Speed I don't know what it's called. Yeah, there's like the Spire, I don't know what it's called, but yeah. So just random kind of like vintage stuff that I just love collecting. Because what I want to do eventually is I do want to have some sort of like really nice shelf, glass shelf, lights, and actually have some of like, so I'll have like my very first mask where I started playing because I still own it. I have my very first pair of gloves. I have the Angel Eyes.
You bastard. Yes, but do you have one of these?
Nice. I don't have one of those, no. But that's kind of what I've been collecting. I've been looking forward to games. But I think, which could lead on to the next topic, because I don't do the YouTube much. As much as I have been in the past, it's kind of been another priority for me now. But I have been searching for something for a long, long time now. Something new, the YouTube thing, I kind of did. I took that as far as I think that I could have took it.
Without a professional film crew, yeah.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And unfortunately, you need money for that, and there just is no money in paintball. And, you know, and I think the era, no, I won't say era. I will say the style of videos on YouTube that were popular back in the day, they're not popular anymore. They're not trending anymore. So that's when other people have come on now, and those sort of videos are trending and stuff. So I took my channel and you know, my style of videos as much as I could. So I've been looking for something else paintball related to kind of like, yeah, to occupy my time, you know, to get those creative notions going and trying to come up with something, which led me to this project which I've been working on for a very long time, which is of course the Paintball Sniper Championship.
Sorry, I just heard a cupboard slam in my kitchen, which means the cats are trying to get into something, or fell out of something, one of the two. So yeah, let's talk about that competition. So you noticed stuff that wasn't trending is trending, and stuff that was trending isn't, and that moved you on to this competition. So walk us through this, like walk me through it, and then I'm going to ask you a bunch
five
of questions.
Questions.
Yeah.
So basically, I came up with straight off the bat. You know, obviously, there's probably going to be very elite snipers here going, you're a shit sniper, you don't know what you're doing, blah 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 blah. I just want to say that the concept of having a sniper competition in paintball is nothing new, right? People have been doing it for years and stuff, but it's definitely something new in UK and Europe. But so I came up with this idea to do this back in 2013. So it was a long time ago.
Okay, so you've been stewing on this for a bit.
So I created the actual Facebook page and everything. But what I quickly realized is that, you know, First Strike, I don't know how it was in the States. This was even before my YouTube channel. But it was obviously, it was in its infancy. You know, there were hardly any markers that actually shot First Strike, and even less people that even knew about them. So it was kind of, it was the wrong time for me to do anything like that. And it wasn't something that I was prepared to do with round ball, because you're just at the mercy of how the paint is stored. If it's stored wrong, then you're not going to get a good score. You know, that sort of thing. Too many variables.
Absolutely.
But I was looking at it recently, you know, and I was like looking, okay, so, you know, there are a lot of very, very capable marksmen out there now, you know, in all corners of the world and stuff. There's a lot of amazing platforms that are all coming out that can shoot First Strike extremely well. And it amazes me that people use these different markers in their own way, and they are very capable in their own way. And so I thought, you know what, now is the time to launch it and see kind of what, you know, the reception would be like for something like this in the UK and Europe. And it's been massive. It's been really, really good so far. So fingers crossed it is going to kind of be how I want it to be. But there was a few things that I wanted to, you know, I've been in a sniper competition in the States before, and I've always found that they were all flawed in some way. That's what I felt anyway.
What do you mean? Like the range isn't eliminative variables, or like,
I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
And again, I'll probably get hate. I'll probably get chewed out for this.
Did you gonna get chewed out for coming on this podcast and you'd be called a soul?
Yeah. I've been chewed out before. It's fine. I find a lot of the competitions like that have been done are essentially pay to win. And I don't like that.
So what do you mean?
I don't like that. So basically it's like, you know, you'll find that, okay, I'm gonna give you an example here.
Lay it on me.
So, the elephant in the room here, let's say that the Sartov is probably the most accurate marker out there, granted. Sure. Yeah. Be it or not, whether I can shoot it or not, or whether I think it's good, it seems like it is the most consistent market out there.
In the hands of somebody who knows how to use it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So previously in the past, the SAR 12 has always won all those competitions. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like, so it's been, you know, it's quite high up there that people usually that have a SAR 12 usually end up winning.
Right.
And that just got me thinking, it's a very capable marker and stuff like that. But I kind of wanted to do something different. Now, when I went over to Chicago, they put me in a sniper competition with my stock Hammer 7, right?
Okay.
So three SAR 12s with Nemesis barrels and Supremacy scopes and my stock Hammer 7.
Cool. So rich kid versus poor kid.
And I beasted all of them. Not just once, but twice.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
So, and that got me thinking. Now there were variables to that. I'm not saying that I'm a better sniper than these people. That I know them very well. One of the guys is one of my friends, and you know he's an extremely capable marksman on the field. But what it came down to in the end is not just the platform, but the player and the ability of target acquisition, which I think is lost when people start using technology. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to reduce the amount of variables. Now, in an ideal world, if you wanted to have a sniper competition, you'd give everyone the same marker, the same barrel, the same paint, and everyone would basically go out and whoever was the winner would be the best. Granted, in an ideal world, that's probably what you would do, but you wouldn't give every race car driver the exact same Formula One car and go out because it's boring, right? You've got to have something a little bit different. Otherwise, it's just a boring sport. So the idea come with the, obviously there's loads of routes. So let's reel them off then. So we have got the SAR 12, which is probably the most dedicated one.
Yep.
And I might miss a few here. So
I'll fill you in if you miss one.
So the ones I've got written down, we've got the SAR 12C. Yep. We've got the CCM. I've never had the pleasure of shooting one.
I have seen it. I have never touched it. When I was in D-Day in Ottawa, Greg Hastings was using one.
Yeah.
So it was very like. So.
Anyway, we'll glance over that. Yeah. So we got the 468 DMR.
Yep.
We have the First Strike Scout, the new bird.
Yep.
We have the MG100, which is a very capable sniper platform. We obviously have the First Strike T15. Mm. We have a Didam.
Yep.
People slate the Didam, but it's an extremely capable marksman rifle. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the old faithful, the Hammer 7.
You're missing one.
The Hammer. Yeah. I'm missing one?
One.
Go on.
It's the Maxtac TGR.
Not a sniper. Get out of here. Hey, let's end this stream. Jesus Christ. We're not going back to 96.
You listed off the T15, the TGR and the T15. Come on now.
I said markers that can actually shoot first.
Oh! For the record, they decided to make it first strike capable just before production.
Hi, is that Maxtac? Yeah, can I get an engineer out? No, it's not broke. I just need to change the velocity. Yeah, thanks. A week. Lovely.
Look, it's not that hard. You just need to know how to pop the two pins, pull the back out, and then know which of the five springs that you have need to go into the marker. Put it in, shoot, and go, shit, that's too fast. And you got to take it out. And then you put the next one down. You shoot it. You go, fuck, that's too slow. Okay, then I got to take the big spring, and then I got to cut it, and then I got to put it in. I have two. I know way too much about it.
So basically, we've got there is another custom one. So there's the CCM SR1. Is CCM the company or is that the
CCM
actual
is the company? Yeah.
So did they bring out another sniper rifle? There's the SR1.
They're working on some like I don't know the name of it, but I know they're working on some crazy platform that is basically
it can drop into a Remington, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're making it so that it can drop into a Remington. So you could just run it if you wanted, and it looks kind of like an autococker.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you can drop it into a Remington shell and get arrested at the airport or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, so my thoughts were that, like, the SAR 12, right, if the scope is or the supremacy is all sighted in and that sort of stuff, in my opinion, you could put that into the hands of a player, and as long as he knows that that crosshair, that's where the crosshair is, that's where it's going to go, he can shoot a target, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. And then he'll try to rip the bolt out.
The only hard part of the SAR 12 is that you actually need a physics degree to actually just bolt the fucking thing. But apart from that, literally, it's like you could put a doped-in SAR 12 and someone would be able to shoot a target at a distance, period.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that potentially a lot of the other competitions may have been a little bit flawed, because if you have the best thing ever, that doesn't necessarily make you the best sniper. It just means that you're using the best rifle.
It makes you an American.
So maybe I didn't say that. But so my idea was that I want to test people's abilities in knowing their rifle, right? So that's where I kind of want to make a difference. So people all have a chance to be able to win this competition, right? So the way I'm going to do that is that if I hand you a SAR 12, right, and there's a target of 40 meters, what do you think the chances are you going to hit that target?
For me?
He's thinking about it.
I mean, like, 40 meters. I'm trying to visualize 40 meters. That's pretty good. Fun. I mean, like, I could probably do it.
Okay, so let's say I give you 10 seconds to make that shot.
Well, first, I'm going to need 10 seconds to figure out how to fucking rack it, and then we're golden. But
let's say you know how to rack it.
If it's already racked and and you tell me I get to lay down and then you go boop and I got 10 seconds to make the shot, I can do it.
Exactly. Okay, so you reckon do that. Okay, that's good. Right, so with that, let's say you're actually sitting next to the person you're against. So this is the first added bit of pressure. So you've got the time pressure aspect, which is good. Then you have the pressure of there's going to be a person next to you who's going to be shooting as well. So I want to add that level of stress, anxiety,
absolutely,
you know, adrenaline.
My father-in-law is a Olympic qualified pistol shooter, which is very cool.
Nice.
So we go out shooting. So me and the wife would go head to head, and we do speed shooting, where they would set up five targets, and he hits the timer, and you only have a certain amount of time. I think it's only a couple of seconds. Like, it's like boop boop, kind of very fast, and you do it standing next to each other. So miss your target, and you know you missed it because you didn't hear the loud ting, but she hit the target and you hear the ting, it fucks you right up because you're just like, oh no, she's getting ahead of me. Like, it, that pressure does build and it messes with you.
Exactly.
So,
and that's,
I love
that's
it.
What I want to, but this is where I'm going to be different, right? So traditionally it's like, right, here's your target, 40 meters. Right, you hit it. Next target, 50 meters. Okay, you hit it. Next target, 60 meters, 70, 80, 90, 100, right? And in my opinion, this is too easy. That's too easy, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm going to be doing is, apart from the time aspect of it, you're also going to be pitched next to the person you're going to be against in a knockout series. But also, each target system is going to have a light indicator above it, right? So you will not know the distance of the shot that you have to take next. That's not just you shoot this target, oh, now you need to get to the next one, which is a bit further. You could be shooting at 40 meters. The next target you've got to hit is then at 100 meters. Then the next target could be at 60. So what I want to do is I want to test people's ability to acquire targets at multiple ranges. Anyone can shoot a target at 40 meters and that's it. Or a player at 40 meters. But what about if the player is at 40 meters, you take him out. Then the next player is at 120 meters. How do you adjust?
Right.
And in my opinion, that is what would make a good sniper, because then if you know your rifle and you've got, you know, you've got that dope in your head, you know, I can't really say it any other way, you know, then you know that, okay, so I need to adjust to this height. Or let's say you're using an optimizer, you can then adjust it, you know, accordingly, and kind of start making those calculations on the fly. In my opinion, it doesn't matter what marker you shoot. If you can do that consistently, that's the key word. Anyone can shoot a target once, but consistently changing ranges and still hitting target at multiple ranges, that makes you a good sniper. And not just increments of just getting further away and further away, because that, again, that's just slight elevation. There we go. Slight elevation. There we go. So actually changing for the furthest to the nearest, to slightly in the middle, back to the nearest, all the way to the end again, you know, and that way it will really push people's, I guess, maths almost to the absolute maximum. And they've got to do this on the fly under a time limit with the person next to them as well. And like you said, let's say they hit that target and you hear that ping and you know you've got to fucking hit this shot, yeah. You know? And that's where I try and create.
Definitely, like, there's going to be a skill. Like, it absolutely is a skill. I know it is, because I'm not fast at it, but I know the skill of, like you said, hitting the target, but knowing where in your scope or in your sight is that next point. Like, how good, like, can you eyeball it? How good are you at eyeballing it? You know, I know people that can sort of stand there, put it their thumb, and they go, yeah, that's about 170 feet. Like, it's not like a ballpark of 200. They're like, no, it's about like 170, maybe 175. Like, they're good at it.
Exactly. That's what I'm on about. It's not about just buying the most expensive gun that's the most consistent and then just shooting at a target, because anybody can do that.
Right.
Consistently being able to change ranges, target acquisition essentially, and still hit consistently at multiple ranges, no matter what it is, then that, in my opinion, makes it's testing people's abilities using the platform that they've chosen, doesn't matter what it is. And that comes with experience. You know, if you know your rifle, I know my Hammer 7, you could put something else in my hands and I probably wouldn't even hit nothing, because it's a different, it feels different. The trigger's different. Everything's different about it. You know, when it's a new marker, whether you experience this, but I always do, when I take a new marker out there, always I suck with it because I don't know it.
It's not even that. If I switch between round ball and first strike, so if I shoot round ball all day, like if I go to a field and it's, you know, let's say walk on day and I'm running round ball all day and having a blast.
Yeah.
And then maybe the next weekend it's okay, I'm going to a big game or a MagFit only game, I'm going to run first strikes. I'm putting first strikes 2 feet over their heads because my muscles are automatically telling me to arc way more than I need to. And it takes me about a full mag to like calm everything down. Like there is that does
and
happen.
You've got to get that. You've got to get your brain back into, you know, how you know where it needs to be. Like when, like my scope, I've been using the same scope now since I started. So it's 6 years. When I look through that scope, I just know how big the targets need to be.
Right. You've got that experience.
To elevate the crosshairs above a target. So I know where they are. And that comes with experience. And I think that makes you a better marksman. But this brings me on to the next controversial decision that I've made.
Controversy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And that is that I will not be allowing supremacy scopes in this competition.
No, I'm okay with that.
Because I think that defeats the purpose. It's pay to win. Because if you've got a supremacy scope and you know the size of a target, let's say the bullseye is the size of a head, then you're not a sniper. You're just paying to win because you know you can hit the target. You know,
absolutely.
So that's why there'll be no supremacy scopes allowed.
No, that's a great idea. That's right. It's one thing when you're in a big game where you want every advantage you can get, and the supremacy scope totally makes sense. But like you said, competition. It's the same reason why you see, oh my god, like biathlon. If you ever watch biathlon, they're shooting toonie sized targets, but they're not using a scope of any kind. They have to do it open sights while huffing and puffing because they just like went crazy.
Yeah.
But, and then, like you said, the money thing, supremacy scopes are the price of whole markers. Like,
it's, yeah.
It's wild.
And that's the thing. It's, I've spent literally like years trying to think of ways. Now, it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. It can never be standard across the board because different people like to shoot different things.
Absolutely.
You know, just, so, but there are standards that you can put in across the board that will kind of level the scoreboard. So what I want to do is bring everyone, doesn't matter what marker they're shooting. Now, let's say someone does shoot a SAR 12 and knows how to shoot it. They've got a very good chance. Very good chance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But, yeah.
It's only the same as someone else who really knows. Let's say someone else knows their MG100 even better than that person knows their SAR. So, you know, consistently they'll both be able to change ranges relatively okay, but all of a sudden the MG100 just it's used to shooting at 100 meters, whereas the guy with the SAR might not be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of a sudden that consistency, he's hit 9 out of his 10 shots. The SAR 12s hit 8 out of his 10 shots. Now, who's the better sniper? In my opinion, it's the one that can hit multiple ranges consistently. Yeah. So not just hitting one target and then moving on to the next one. So, which is only a little bit further. So yeah, it's something I've put a lot of thought into, and I wanted to take it away from the military style things and give it a different spin, because the military thing's been done. You know, it's kind of one of those things. It is popular. I get it's popular, but
yeah, but your competition feels more Olympic style, more competition style, like more bright colors, you know. You see professional shooters. I know everyone sees the YouTube videos of the guys who hang out at the range way too often, and they're in like full camo and they're just doing the crazy pistol shit. But if you look at an actual professional shooter, they're usually wearing white and blue. Like, it looks like a tennis jersey, you know, Yeah. Huge. So my father-in-law has the glasses. He puts them on, and then he's like, has one that goes over his eye and it blacks it out, and then the other one has a really tiny hole in it, and it like and it's, but he goes like, well, one arm out and he's like ping, and he's shooting nickels off of, you know, nuts.
Exactly. And I just, you know, obviously I want it all to be documented and recorded and, you know, and shot and filmed in like a professional kind of way, and everyone has their little name and, you know, where they're from and stuff, so it makes people feel, you know, that it is something special and they're part of something cool. And in the end, what I guess where I'm hoping is that, you know, this is going to be a standalone event, but I'm hoping in the end people will start trying to make their own custom rifles for this.
I can already tell you one guy here in New Brunswick, he's in Moncton. I guarantee it, if he could do a competition like that and you gave him a year, he would build from the ground up a MagFed, like first strike only marker to do just that.
Have to be MagFed. It could be breech loaded. It honestly doesn't matter.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it. If people want to take their ether and breech load a foot, I couldn't give a shit. It doesn't really matter. If you can shoot a 6-inch target at 100 meters using an e-tech or anything, fill your boots, mate. Fill your boots. You know.
So real quick, I've got to pay the bills. And then there's a couple of comments and questions that I want us to get to that I think will help answer some questions to help clarify some pictures here. There's a couple of comments I think that need to clear something up. Anyways,
yeah,
we'll be right back as soon as I do this whole, you know, paying for, you know, the podcast and all that jazz. So give me 2 seconds there, Hidden Hedgehog. All right, folks. So, like I said, we're going to pay the bills. So, big shout out to the sponsors. First off, PB Swag Bag. If you want cool gear sent to you once a month, it's not always paintball, but it's always paintball related. Head on over to pbswagbag.com and use the code MPP10. Score yourself 10% off and off your first bag. If don't like it, cancel it anytime. It's a great service. I get one once a month, and I love it. Artful Dodger Beard Oil, the guy here, the local dude that keeps my beard looking beautiful. It needs a cut, it needs a trim, but the oil and the balms that he makes are absolutely amazing. ArtfulDodgerBeardOil.com, you can get beard oil, tattoo balm, soap, everything. It's all good, it's all handmade. Trust me, I don't have a code for you because the guy's stuff is worth it, 100%. DefConPaintballGear.com, great website. They're like your paintball people. Go check them out if you're in Canada or the United States. You can shop on their website. Save 10% using the code Maritimes. And you can get their DEF CON supply drop once a month, which is some really kick-ass paintball gear, which comes in a really cool box, which I don't have one near me. But this First Strike hat came in the October one. So definitely check it out. And like I said, score 10% off with Maritimes. And, you know, get yourself some new paintball gear. You deserve it. Terran Armament, one of the longest standing sponsors of this podcast. Fantastic guys. They are like your MagFed specialists. They got MCS gear. They've got airsoft, soft goods, coffee, all sorts of crazy awesome stuff. Go give them your money. Tier1ArmamentStore.com. They're absolutely worth it. And then, of course, the true MVPs, the Patreon supporters, Matt S., Matt O., Tim B., Scotian PB, Dr. Rush, Jeffrey Ryan, Alex, Tony. They're the real MVPs. They really are. They're financially supporting the podcast through Patreon. And if you want to become a Patreon supporter, you can head on over to patreon.com/Maritime Paintball Podcast and become one and be one of those really cool people. If you're not in a position to do so, then like and share the podcast. That's all you really have to do. So that's it. That's paying the bills. We're done. All in like three breaths. So
you need to work on your advert voice, man. You need to work on your advert voice. Just bring it down and just kind of add that really nice advert tone. Join DEF CON to get 10% off using the Maritime. Something like that, you know?
You lost your accent and it was really weird. Or you put one on, I guess. Technically, for you, you put one on. To me, you lost it. That's weird.
Do you like paintball podcasts? Now join the Maritime Podcast and get 10% off your next paintball purchase.
God, you sound like some dude from the mid-50s who beats his wife. Like, terrible voice. Don't do that voice anymore. A couple of things here on the YouTube comments here.
Go for it.
So Sergey? I think it's Sergey. Yeah, and I'm not even going to attempt the last name. He's asking, are you talking about head-to-head competition and shooting in turns target by target? I think you mentioned everyone's just going to lie down, and it's going to be if you miss your target, you're out. Is that?
No. So, obviously, all the targets are going to have same as a normal target. So the outside one, let's say, will be 1 point. The circle and the insert will be 2 points, going smaller and smaller to 10. So there will be potentially maybe 5 to 10 targets.
Okay.
Right. And each of them are going to have scores on them. So even if you miss one, it doesn't matter because, you know, you could have hit the bullseye on the ones previously, you know.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it doesn't matter if someone misses a shot. It doesn't matter because remember, it's about what score you get at the end of that. So it's like, obviously, there is an element of marksmanship where, you know, obviously, if you miss, it's devastating for you. But, you know, it's still an idea that if you hit it, you can still win by, you know, getting better score than the other player on the previous targets or the next targets, you know.
Yeah. Other question from Chad Bod. He said, are you setting a maximum zoom level or is it only red dots? Like, what are the rules on the sights going to be?
There's no rules on the sights apart from no supremacies.
Okay. So Sergey,
because the thing is, it's like, you know, again, it doesn't really matter. There's no advantage to a red dot to a 10 times zoom scope.
No.
In my opinion, like some of the best marksmen I know only use a red dot.
Yeah.
I like using paintball. A scope because it's paintball. It's not real steel. We're not going to be, you know, getting that sort of detail and like not detail, but, you know, like the slightest imperfection or something can knock off your bullet by 2 miles or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's paintball. If people think that having a 10 times zoom scope is going to give them advantage, fair enough. If some people will go out there with a red dot and do just as good.
Absolutely.
You know,
so now
But the difference is that there's no advantage or disadvantage to having those two, whereas with the supremacy, there is, because it actually tells you where you need to aim to hit the target.
Right. So Sergei says you can calculate the distance by millidots or any other reticle knowing the target size. Doesn't matter if you're using a supremacy or any other scope. Once you calculate the distance, once the reticle doesn't matter anymore. Now, I want to make a comment. You can correct me if I'm wrong here. But the supremacy scope is made for paintball. And it's got the little circles on it. You put the circle on the person's head, and it will tell you which line to use when shooting an FSR at 280 feet per second. So it's doing a lot of math for you. It's not the same as if you were to take a crossbow scope, which the supremacy scope and crossbow scopes are very similar. They don't have a whole lot of zoom. It's a whole lot of magnification. Just a little itty bitty bit. If you take a crossbow scope, nothing on that scope is going to really matter for a first strike. You will learn, you will know it, but then you've learned and you know that scope. Yeah. And that scope and your marker as a combination are now more effective because you know how to use it. Having something purposely built that if you just tell somebody, put the circle here and put this line here, boom, you hit your target.
Yeah. Okay. But the other thing is the fact that obviously right now nobody knows the distances of those targets that I'm going to put them at.
Ooh, right.
So, so it's like no one knows that yet. Whereas again, with the supremacy, it won't matter because it will tell you where you need to aim. So even if the scope has mil dots, it's not made for you. You have to. I don't see how mil dots on a scope will, unless you've managed to, like I said, do the math calculation and work it out. But I can't see how it would transfer over to first strike from real steel.
No, it wouldn't, because they're made for. Even if you went with something that was designed for, like pellet guns, like air guns. It's still not going to translate to paintball immediately. You can make it and you can learn what translates properly. And you could look at it and be like, okay, this is supposed to be at the 100 meter range, but it's actually at the 50 meter range for me, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, if a guy has bought a scope and he's sat down and done the maths and worked out the ranges that he needs for this,
he's just going to be a better shooter.
Yeah, he's going to be a better shooter. Yeah, exactly. And it's not like it that, you know, this is, there will be variations. I refuse to believe that you could be able to use those mil dots and then accurately every single time 100% be able to gauge it. There'll still be variations where you get it wrong. Do you know what I mean? You might go, do you know what? I think that's roughly at this. So, you know, I mean, the target could be at what range? You know, are you going to range find it, you know, on the fly, 10 seconds?
Would you let me put a range finder on my marker?
I can't see why, but to be honest, we might even actually have the actual ranges actually on the targets, you know, but I can't see why people using mil dots, I don't see it being a benefit. If they've learned how to use them, fair enough.
So on Twitch, the Systematic Theo, he says the only advantage is someone putting in the work to figure out what they have. And if they've put in the work, then they deserve the advantage.
Yes.
So
that's a good way. That's a very, very good way of explaining the answer to the previous question.
And Ardav wants to know, when are the targets going to go side to side?
I'm sorry. What was that?
He wants to know when the targets are going to go side to side.
When the targets are going to go side to side. Oh, when they're going to move.
Yeah. You're going to make a move.
Oh. See, right? I wasn't gonna dive into too much detail here, but yeah,
there we go.
But this is not going to be something that's going to happen all the way through the competition. So there'll be a knockout stage, and that will lead to the next knockout stage that will lead to essentially, you know, the semifinals and then the finals. So what I want is that the actual experience that the shooter has will get more difficult as he progresses on. It won't be the same, because that wouldn't be right, because if you've learned how to range everything from the first time, you're just going to come back and do it again.
Yeah.
So I want to constantly change it up and make those levels of difficulty higher, just to see if those people that have moved on, are they ready? Are they ready for that type of competition? The ones that are going to progress. The ones that are just not quite good enough right now, they're not going to get through. And then hopefully they're going to go back and go, I should have won that. I need to practice doing this now so I can get better for next time. And that's what I'm hoping to create, is really dive into, you know, that marksman as an art and not just something that people go out, you know, that's what I hope anyway, because it is an art, you know, it is yeah. Something, you know, I remember the first time I hit my first strike shot, and it just blew me away that, you know, when you put your crosshair somewhere and it actually goes there. And I don't think I've shot a round ball since, but it's
it really is something special when you watch that first strike just go and hit right where exactly. You wanted it to. And you're just like, you weren't guessing or anything.
Yeah. Exactly.
So let me ask, exactly. So you've obviously put a ton of thought into this.
Yes.
Have you approached anybody to help with costs? Cause this is going to cost you money.
So there's a few things here. So I originally, like, this is back in 2013. So obviously there's always going to be the big people that are going to want to be involved in something like this. And back then I did actually have Karma Tech that were going to do a bear in mind, this was a long time ago now, but they liked the idea and they were going to actually help with the prizes. And they were going to do like a laser engraved SAR 12 for the winner and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh shit.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I haven't actually reached out. I think for the first one, I think I'm just going to fund it myself, because I don't want outside influences right now, I don't think. I don't know how it's going to be. So one thing I do know is that me, will be providing the first strikes for this, right?
That was something else I wanted to ask. Was there people bring their own or...
No fucking way. No way. So everyone will be shooting from the same batch of first strikes. It will have the same variations from those first strikes, you know, and that will be it. They'll all be faced nose down prior to everyone shooting, so none of them are going to be on the sides.
Going to hire a part-timer to sand all the nipples off.
So everybody will, basically all the nipples will be gone. But the reason why I'm doing that is because so the people who don't do that, and then are going to get potentially, I don't know if it really makes that much difference, but let's say it does, stung by the people who are going to start sizing, weighing their first strikes.
Yeah.
Because then that's too many variables. You've got someone else is using an advantage when you want to try and give people as much of a level playing field as possible. So the players will go there with their gun, right? Everyone will be shooting through a chrono anyway, because obviously just like in dodgeball, you put your foot over the line, you're out.
Yep.
You know, false shot. So everyone obviously will have to shoot for a chrono with every shot. And also, yeah, we will be providing the first strikes for that. So then no one can complain that, oh, I only lost because he was using different first strikes. No, they're all from the same batch. They're all literally handful out of the same box. And there you go. There's nothing you can say then. Everyone has the same advantages and disadvantages, if you would like.
No, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's the other thing is the disadvantages. If, you know, first strikes can be fickle.
It's part of being a marksman. You've got to understand that there are going to be variations. If you're not able to deal with those variations.
You're in rough shape.
Yeah. Next question. I'm on a roll there. I'm on a roll. Come on.
Oh, no.
I'm excited about it. I really, like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing people who are just as passionate about marksmanship as I have become. I am by no means the best marksman out there, you know, contrary to what my videos might say.
No, you're just a tight. What is it?
Tight t-shirt. I can't believe you forgot it already. Tight t-shirt wearing sponsor hall, mate. You know?
That's it. Yeah, you're just a tight t-shirt sponsor.
So, I think for me, it was just, I was just the first person that was able to capture sniping on camera. I wasn't the first, but I was the one that took it the furthest.
You weren't the first, but you were.
It was JJ Martin, I think, was a guy who did it first.
Yeah, but
with an 80.
You were the
best, is it?
Something like that. But you were the first that it wasn't like the camera wasn't all over the goddamn place. Like so many people, and I know that, you know, the boys like Led Farmer and Nightmare and all them, this is part of their video, and I get it. It's just the way things happen. But it gives me like not a headache, but it just makes me all wobbly when it goes into the shot cam, and it's just like, and it's just all over the friggin' place. But I get it. A micro movement on the end of that barrel looks like a mile and a half on the GoPro. It's just the way it is. But your stuff's always just brutally smooth, especially when you're just like shooting the dude and he just happened to. Which one was it? I think you shot him through the window and you just got him in the balls. Like, it was just like, boom, and he just went, you know.
Many of those shots.
Right?
But anyway, like, just going back to, so it's just like, I know them personally, some extremely talented marksmen, you know, with their guns. And, you know, some of them, you know, shoot markers you'd never think of, you know. And, you know, one of the first guys who influenced me to shoot First Strike, so he used a T9.1 and he dominated everybody.
Oh man, I had one of those. Weighed a friggin' ton.
Yeah, and the chances of you ever finding a working one is you know, it just, I can't even fathom it.
No.
You know, they are rare, not because there's not many of them around, it's just there's not many that actually work. So it's kind of like, it's just like, so he had one, but he dominated everyone with it because he just knew it.
Yeah,
he just from knew the back of his hand. First Strike Tiberius back then first started producing First Strike rounds, he started shooting them. So by the time I got introduced to First Strike, he'd already been shooting them for like 5 years.
Oh, he was buying them in the little 10 round tubes.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
And he dominated everyone. So it's like, again, it just all these things together, you know, the competition that I had. And I'll tell you right now, and this has influenced it a lot, you know, because I couldn't understand, you know, it was me with a stock Hammer 7 with my scope and my barrel. I had my scope and my barrel when I was in Chicago, but the Hammer 7 was a stock Hammer 7 that I opened that day. And then the other guys, like I said, SAR-12s, Supremacies, Nemesis barrels, the lot. You know, you're talking, how much is that in dollars for one of those, do you reckon? Let's say American dollars.
I don't know, man. I deal in Maple Leafs.
So they're like $1,200 for the marker, and is it like $400 for the scope, and about another $300 for the... Maybe someone in the chat can post up.
I can. I will tell you when you keep talking, I'll tell you in 10 seconds.
So it's like, you know, there was like, you know, in my head, I'm sort of talking like $5,000 to $6,000 of marker just walking towards me in slow motion. And I'm just thinking, what the hell have I got myself in for right here now, you know? And what happened was, now granted, the way that they did the competition again was flawed. But okay, we'll run with it to initially. And it was essentially everyone got given a number. Everyone had to move to a shooting position. Then everyone got a chance to shoot at a target, which was one of us. But they're all shooting supremacy scopes, right? So what does a supremacy scope need to work?
A head.
Exactly right. See, in my head, I'm thinking, well, logic tells me then that if they can't see my head, then they can't hit me. And that's exactly what I did. I just hit my head the best I could just so it was, you know, camouflaged or like, you know, just so they couldn't get a bead on which circle to use. And it rendered their $2,000 marker completely useless, you know. But the difference is that I am not used to using those circles. I'm used to using the dope in my head. the distance on previous engagement, I guess you can call it. So I was like, yeah, I know this range. And I eliminated these guys because I knew in my head what it was. So, you know, but you can't get away with that target shooting. But again, I just put that down to, I just know my scope and my marker, you know, and I took away their only advantage that they had. That's the only way. It's not that I was a better, you know, better shooter or anything like that. It was just, or more accurate than those guys. It's just because I took away their only point of, the point of, I don't know what you want to call it.
Reference.
That's the word. Yeah. Yes.
So Sergey found the sniper combo for us. That's the bolt action SAR 12 with the Nemesis barrel and the supremacy scope. All in one package is $1,400 US.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, it's a very capable rifle and stuff. Please, like I said, there's going to be a load of SAR 12 fanboys in here that are probably going to think I'm bagging on the SAR 12. And I'm really not, because I know that it is a really capable rifle.
It is. It is 100%. Incredibly capable, but it is also incredibly niche.
Mm.
That's my, like, yeah. I've seen some guys like, so I, you know, as some of you know, I host a MAGFed competition once a year. And our first year, the first year of me running it, there was a guy who brought his SAR 12 thinking, he's like, oh, I'll just keep all their heads down from a distance. They won't be able to reach me. Well, that SAR 12 did horribly because I made sure that everybody was within, you know, about a 200 foot range. It doesn't, you know, so the SAR 12 is a very particular marker. It needs a very particular scenario to be in, which I've been on the receiving end of that in a MAGFed only game in North Carolina, which was absolutely nuts. This guy, like, huge respect. The morning or the day before the game, he sighted in his SAR 12, played around with the pressure, something like that. I think because he was from the northern United States and we were playing in the southern United States, so he was like adjusting for humidity. And then he wandered out into the field and came back with the humidity is brutal in the southern United States. It's like something like 80% humidity.
How would that affect the first try?
He's used to cooler temperatures. I guess it would be more the heat. So, like, we went in, Jesus, when did we play? September?
Okay.
So, like, here in, like, northern United States and Canada, like, September is like, you know, 10, 12 degrees Celsius, give or take. But in North Carolina, it was 30. So, like, it's a huge swing for the marker, I guess. Anyways. He also went out and redid his entire ghillie setup. So, like, everything was done with fresh foliage from that area. This dude controlled an entire part of the field by himself. Like, we were walking, going to an objective, and we didn't even hear the shot. We just, boom, the guy behind me got hit. And it was like, holy shit. And then we all hit the dirt.
I'm just going to say this right now, just because I really doubt that the humidity would make any difference at all.
I don't know, man.
I just think he's very good. He's good.
He was tweaking it. He was playing around with it. It was wild.
But that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
It took a 100%. Lot of pride.
I know some players, you know, that rock the SAR 12 and they're devastating. They really are. They're devastating.
Yeah.
You know,
these are the same dudes that weigh and sort their first strikes.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. And it's like, you know, so, but at the same time, you know, I've seen people as well, you know, with Didams, you know, and you think Didam that it, you know, that it wouldn't be, you know, really a capable rifle. But, you know, I've seen some people use a Didam, you know, in a marksman role, and they're absolutely fucking devastating with it.
Yeah, you don't see the Didam get used regularly for, like, one or two shots. The Didam is more like, whap, they send, like, five at you.
But he's a one shot, one kill guy, and, you know, and he runs a dam, and he loves his dam, and, you know, we have this whole thing. I remember once when he first bought his dam, and he had a big smile on his face. He's like, oh yeah, I've just bought this dam, and I was like, that's great. What do you want? do you want a bin or something to put it in or something? I just cracked a joke with him and stuff like that. And one of the marshals came, we were camping, one of the marshals came round and he had bin bags. And he goes, he turned around and he goes, all right, guy, I'm just picking up rubbish. You got any cans, any plastic bags, any diadems, you know? And it was perfect. It was perfect. And ever since then, you know, he's took out and he's done absolute damage with his diadem and he loves it and he wouldn't change it for the world. And he's a very, very capable sniper. And I wouldn't want to go against him. You know, it's again, this is what I love about it, and this is why, in my opinion, it's the right time to do it, because there's so many different marksman rifles out there that people have learned to use to maybe the best possible way that they can. And I think pitching those all together, you know, in a competition that doesn't just necessarily test the rifle's capabilities but tests the person's capabilities to change ranges and consistently hit targets. So, you know, that I'm just throwing those different combinations together. Yeah, you might have an accurate marker, but as a player, you might not be able to shoot shit. You put me with a SAR 12, I ain't going to be able to shoot anything, you know, yep. Because I just can't. I just can't do it. So it's kind of like, you know, and again, other people, you know, the MG100, I'm really excited to see what that can actually do on the field.
I should have one to demo soon.
Yeah, like everyone that I know that uses them sings its praises, you know, and I've got a picture of one. And the more I look at it, the more I'm like, oof, God, that's nice. You know, it is nice. But then we have the other one, which is, you know, which is a bit of a – I think it's going to be a dark horse, and that is the First Strike Scout. You know, no one really knows what that's capable of just yet. No one really knows, you know. It's like some people use it. You know, but you know, people. Some people like it, some people don't.
I'm trying to get my hands on one of those too.
I'm just going to throw out there that, you know, when the Hammer 7 came out, everyone thought it was the ugliest, shittiest marker in the world. No one wanted it. They were palming these off for like $50 in the UK.
It did look like a Walmart marker. Like it did look like it looked like something you bought at Walmart.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, but it's fantastic though, isn't it? Because what it's turned into is a legend. It is. There's not many, in my opinion, not many markers reach that status. No. Right? This was never ever meant to be what it has become, ever. And I think that's why I love about it so much. It's become a legend in its own right. And again, I just think that not many markers reach that kind of status.
Somebody had mentioned that I might get some flack for this, but the MG100 is the Jehovah Witness of paintball. Basically, it's just no matter what field you go to, it's do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior, the MG100?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter where you go, there's somebody there preaching the good word of Planet Eclipse.
The MG100, right? Or
yeah, that's made by Planet Eclipse.
The thing about the MG100, which has become apparent, is the fact that you can shoot round ball with the MG100 and be competitive against someone shooting first strike. And that...
It's that gamma core. It's the consistency of that gamma core, just which Die kind of may have ripped off.
It is very brutal. It is a brutal marker. But again, you know, can you imagine pitching something like that? And let's just say, for example, that, you know, the first competition is going to be run next year. Let's say the SAR 12 wins it. Very capable shooter, very capable rifle wins it. Let's say the year after, something else wins it, like an MG100. Can you imagine the fucking uproar? Can you imagine the uproar? It would be incredible. It would be incredible. I'm hoping that companies start thinking about trying to make something, even just concept rifles, just to try. You know how they do like it in like Formula One and like car manufacturers do it, where they bring out like a concept gun just to promote the brand and promote. That's where I see this competition going. That's where I see it going. I think it's going to get massive. I think companies are going to get involved.
Oh, and, God, we're going to get the angel eyes of markers. Just one-offs that somebody's going to own and nobody's there. Like,
we're going to get people, like 70-year-old guys with beards down to here, customizing their own, you know, consistent paintball markers because maybe they can't play anymore. But this is something that they can do.
Man, you know, I'd be terrified if I entered a competition and some 70-year-old dude wanders by with, like, unshaven face and he's just like, what's going on? And then he lays down and just kicks everybody's ass. Like, that would be absolutely...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you know that dude's going to have, like, 50-some years of experience.
Exactly.
Man, oh, man. Exactly. So we're going past the one-hour mark here, bud.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's quarter to fucking
yeah,
two.
You got to go to bed.
Surprised I'm this awake, actually, to be honest.
It's because you've been drinking tea and you're super pumped about it.
I get excited when I talk about marksmanship.
We're going to have to talk about, not on the podcast, but I'm going to want to talk to you because, like I said, I run a MegFed competition. I kind of want to do something like what you're doing, but I want to make sure that it's not competing with you. Seems like you're in the UK.
No, the more people that can do this together, you're in Canada, dude. There's not got a whole ocean between us. And people want to. This is going to be my competition is mainly aimed towards UK and Europe anyway. I mean, people may come over once they hear that there's like, I don't know, let's say like $1,000 prize for first place. But, you know, maybe they will come over. Let's just gloss over that part because no one knows yet. But they probably do know.
Jesus. Okay.
Can you imagine that?
That would be amazing.
Can you imagine?
That would be absolutely amazing.
A crowd watching, a target system, two players on a raised platform shooting, knowing that, let's say, $1,000 is on the line. That would be fucking epic, dude. That would be absolutely epic.
It would be like spectators could watch. It would be easy.
They would, yeah. That's why the whole sniper versus sniper wouldn't work, because the winner is the person that doesn't move. You know, that's why a sniper competition with a player versus player like that with a ghillie suit in the middle of a field could never work, because it's just the game's going to be an hour long and no one's going to move because no one wants to lose. You know, the person that moves is the person that's going to lose. And that's just the way it is. So that's why this is more of a marksman competition. I'm just using the word sniper because it gets people's attention.
Yes. Yeah. You gotta, I hate to say it, but you gotta go to that common denominator. Because every kid in paintball wants to be the sniper.
You don't want to be a sniper.
Yeah,
you got a sniper rifle with bullets.
So I'm just my blunder years of paintball. We're not talking about that. Okay, so I'll have to bring you back on, and we'll chat about whatever the hell you want, really. But maybe we'll try and we'll have to try and organize something. I want to do a Christmas special again this year. We did a Christmas special last year, and I'll try and figure something out. We'll bring you on like during a holiday, and then it won't be as bad.
Yeah,
because it'll be like good. We'll do it like noon my time, so it'll be like 5 your time. You know, like it'll be. Yeah,
that could be good.
Right.
So, well, yeah, it'd be good. Yeah, I'm welcome to come on. You know, I'd love to come on anytime. You know, just give me some notice and stuff. I'll happily come on, throw some banter towards you Canadians, and you know. We can take the piss out of no, I can't say that. Doesn't matter. But yeah,
we'll take the piss out of anybody. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and I love coming on. You know, and it's just like, yeah, I'm not so much in the YouTube game anymore, but you know, I'm still there doing stuff, and you know, I'm working behind the scenes. I bought a paintball site as well, which is cool. But maybe we can, yeah, talk about that another time.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about how you're not on YouTube and that you bought a paintball site. Actually, it would be nice to bring you on and talk about what you put into your YouTube and like how much work it was and that kind of thing. Hopefully that's not like opening a wound, but I think people need to know what the behind the scenes was.
Do you know what the problem is about YouTube is that do you know what, I can't even say that because it's just I don't want to be negative towards people that want to start a YouTube channel because it's a lot
I
of
will
people's
okay
dream.
Here's the catch. If you want to be successful on YouTube, you basically need to understand that YouTube is literally an army of 10-year-olds. with their mother's iPad. Like, that's what it is. You want to be famous on YouTube, make content that 10-year-olds will eat up.
Yeah, basically. But not even that. You can't have no life.
No,
you can't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you know, if you like that.
Or something in between.
I know there's a lot of dynamic users out there.
Right. I'm doing review videos, and it's like 6 hours a week of my life go into just editing these fucking review videos. I can only imagine how much time goes into your stuff. Like, okay, we're getting onto another topic. We need to end the episode.
Yeah, I could talk forever about YouTube, but it's a bitter taste for me, unfortunately. It's just one of those things. Anyone who's wanting to make a channel, you just go and do it if you want to do it. And
we're going to bring you on, and it's going to be a reality check. It's going to be like, you want to do it, do it. But here's the reality.
I think we'd have to spin it another way, because otherwise it's going to be so negative. Do you know what? If you're going to do YouTube, just do YouTube. Never look at analytics. Never look at views. Never look at comments, and never look at likes. Just enjoy the process of making videos for yourself and uploading them, and then move on. That's my advice.
That's actually really, yeah. Do it because you want to do it. Get into Vimeo. Yeah. Or what was the one I was going to do years ago? Oh yeah, Pornhub has a safe for work section. Hear me out. Here's the reason why. So, because a lot of big gun like YouTube accounts basically started getting demonetized because they were recommending. Like, maybe they're showing off a new Glock, and they're like, yeah, this is the new Glock. I highly recommend it. Well, YouTube goes, well, that's recommending the purchase of a firearm. So a lot of these guns people were like, well, fuck it. We're going to go somewhere else. Like, we got to do something else. So somebody tried to create their own called GunTube, and it just didn't take off very well. And then Pornhub, as a joke, was like, we'll take you, and we'll pay you for your views. Like, if you get, like, the same way YouTube does. And they did. So they went over. And I was, as a joke, I was going to bring the podcast over. But then I was like, man, I could basically just kiss every sponsorship goodbye. So
it is what it is.
Yeah. So it's been a blast. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for staying up till the wee hours of the night, morning.
That's all right.
I guess it's tomorrow now.
It's good to meet some things.
It's tomorrow in the UK. Who won the election?
I've got to be up in 4 hours for work, you know?
Don't even go to bed at this point. All right, man.
I'm pretty much. Anyone's interested in knowing more information, I'm going to do a cheeky plug here, by the way. Just head to Facebook, which is Paintball Sniper Championship UK. I put UK on it, but it's UK and Europe and global. I'm going to take over the world. And if you want any information about it, just hit me up on there. Or those that know me could just send me a message. And
to those guys. As it gets bigger, are you going to change it from like the UK to like the British Empire to like
global, the global paintball sniper championship? You know, the problem is you get people going, first strike isn't allowed in my country. Can we do a sniper championship with round ball? And I'm going to be like, oh, fuck.
So, you know, Celia planned. I'm sorry, you're late to the party by like an hour and 20 minutes. I said, paintball sniper champion. What? We ain't got time.
Ain't nobody got time for this.
We ain't got, go. I'll kill the feed. You can rewind it and watch the whole fucking thing. Okay. Yeah. It's been a blast. Big shout out to everybody who stuck around and chatted. To those of you like the systematic Theo who found us on Twitch and has just been spamming the chat. Big thanks. And Ardive blowing up YouTube there. Sergey helping us along. So, and everyone in the Facebook chat, you guys have always been there. So big thanks. We're out of here. Go get some sleep, man.
No, thanks for having me. Take care.
Cheers.